Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Welcome to the Mediocrity Podcast. I'm always in a musical mood when I hear that theme song. I love it so much. And I just gotta say thank you to Mr. Atterbury for making that wonderful theme song.
You're so welcome.
We are Mediocrity Podcast, part of the Multimedia Men brand. Type in Multimedia Men Podcast into iTunes. You'll find us, subscribe to us, love us, hate us, smell us, kiss us, and talk to us, because we just want to be loved and talked with. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm joined by Jonathan Atterbury on the West Side.
What's up?
What's up? What's the latest news, man?
Oh, not much, really. Just same old, just working on the book. Just doing the powerlifting thing and chilling out.
Have you been posting naked pictures of yourself on social media recently?
No, not a whole lot. I mean, you know, moderately naked.
Well, good. But I guess by doing the New American Fitness, as Jeremy has said before, you will inspire people to take more naked pictures because you'll have a beautiful body in mind, right?
Dude, just trying to get the world to take more nudies. That's all.
Have I said that?
Of course, join us in Dallas, Texas. Well, Garland, Texas, really. Jeremy Mager, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
You doing all right?
I'm doing great, bud. How about you?
Doing very well. How are the comics going?
They're good, man. Just drawing away on Primal Instinct right now.
Hell yes. Exciting news.
Yeah.
Speaking of comics, let's talk about the big movie that released that's made tons of money already in the box office. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I know we're going to try to be as spoiler-free as possible because I know maybe some of you haven't seen it, including our own Jonathan Atterbury, which is just very weird. He was too busy. God knows what he's doing.
Taking nude pictures of myself.
Filming sweaty lifting videos at the gym.
Yes, yes. That's what he's doing. But Jeremy and I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Jeremy, give me your thoughts.
I gotta say, man, I really liked it. This is, the Guardians movies, I think, are some of my favorite, not only Marvel movies, but, man, I gotta, just for a comic book superhero genre, man, they're so unique and different. Like, I gotta say, I enjoy these movies almost as much as I actually enjoy watching Star Wars.
Whoa, that's a huge deal.
Whoa. Yep.
I think you blew Atterbury's mind just now. He was
Mager dropping bombs over here.
I'm going to give John the highest expectations possible, so then when he goes in there, he's like, what the fuck?
And knowing Atterbury, there's several things that are universally loved that John hates. Like Bill Murray.
Universally. Come on, give me a fucking break.
I would say Bill Murray's universally loved.
I don't know about that, man. Have you seen The Life Aquatic? That movie's fucking boring.
That movie's amazing. But we're
no.
we will have a round two of Bill Murray here to prove you wrong. But with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I agree with Jeremy. These movies are so much fun. And I want to ask Jeremy, do you think a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy appeal and how different and appealing it is, do you think that's like James Gunn and the cast, like chemistry?
I think so.
I do too.
I gotta give it a, like, I think James Gunn is gonna end up being one of the few like Marvel directors that, you know, as much as I don't ever want him to stop making Guardians of the Galaxy movies with this cast, like, eventually he will leave, and it will be one of the, like, few times that a Marvel movie director leaves and everyone is going to be upset about it, because it just, you know, it won't be the same.
Yeah, I totally agree, because, I mean, you have Joss Whedon, who did, you know, the Avengers 1 and 2, and, you know, he has a huge fan following of Firefly and Buffy, to name two things he's done. And then you have Jon Favreau, who's a badass, but those two both left. And now you have James Gunn, who's done weird movies. Like, he started in Troma, and then he did Slither and Super and The Specials. And it's just like, how did this guy become, like, one of the biggest directors out there? Just because he has this unique ability and vision for these almost anti-hero, hilarious, you know, pushing the lines comedy, which is really good. And I agree with Jeremy that I think this is, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy are definitely my favorite in the Marvel Universe and maybe some of the best superhero films out there.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, it's not like he's got tons of, you know, epic, you know, decades worth of comic, but it's not like he's got, like, you know, 40 years of Spider-Man stories or whatever to pull from to make a great movie. I mean, these are, like, you know, seeing kind of D-list characters, and he's making amazing movies with them.
He is, because I don't think anybody really knew about Guardians of the Galaxy, except for really, you know, people who have been into comics forever, until the movies were announced. And now it's just, it's crazy, and a lot of the characters, and like you and I were talking, so if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 yet, and, you know, Marvel always does, you know, the scene at the end in the credits, there are a total of 5 different scenes during the credits. And one of them showcases a new character, which I had no idea who that was, but you did, Jeremy. And is it, mm-hmm. Does that mean, like, we're going to see this new character in the future film? Is what it seemed like, and this character in the, was this character in the comics?
Yes, he's in the comics.
So, all right. I'm excited. James Gunn has signed on for Volume 3 already to direct and write it. So,
well, that makes me happy.
So they have already greenlit that. But I was happy to see everybody. I mean, just those chemistry of everybody in there are still so funny and great to be around. The soundtrack kicks ass. And you've got Kurt Russell, who is amazing in there. Like, there is a full scene dedicated to Kurt Russell talking about his penis in the movie. Like, no joke. It's one of the highlights of cinema history. So do you think, like, they can, I mean, since these two movies are so good, do you think a third one will be just as good, or do you think it will fall down by the wayside?
I think it'll be just as good.
You think so?
I kind of get the impression after watching this movie and then, you know, kind of replaying events from the first one, I got the vibe that James Gunn probably has a story for all three kind of planned out loosely in his head for what he wanted to do for each movie.
Okay.
That's what I think.
And what were your favorite characters in this version? And did they differ from the first one?
Man, I really liked this movie was such an awesome, you know what I mean? It's like you have the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, saving the entire galaxy a second time, you know, but the nice thing about it is, as opposed to the Avengers, where it just feels like this huge spectacle of almost kind of silliness, you know, with like robots on a, you know, floating city type of deal. I'm like, this was still packed with like lots of like great, you know, character development and just awesome scenes with the cast together. And
there was more intimate on a,
yeah,
I agree with you.
I mean, there really wasn't like, you know, a spelled out villain until, super close to the end.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's there's definitely surprises in the movie. I think you're going to love it. And I got to ask Atterbury, were you a fan of the first one, and are you looking forward to the second one?
Absolutely. 100% yes.
Okay. So this is one thing you like.
This is an Atterbury endorsed movie series.
So are you excited to see, like, if this lives up to like a Star Wars type of level that Jeremy has spoken of?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, I believe him. Jeremy and I usually agree on movies. TV shows we tend to differ wildly on, but movies we usually see eye to eye on.
Well, that's because you like Friends. Nobody likes
Friends. Yeah, but it's also because Jeremy likes things like The Green Arrow and shit like that. But I just can't.
I like
can't.
The Flash. I don't like The Green Arrow. You told me to watch that shitty Merlin show. I don't want to hear anything.
So bad.
Anything out of you after you told me to watch that fucking Merlin TV show.
But at least it's not Blacklist. That was fucking terrible.
Merlin was like bad softcore pornography set in the Middle Ages.
That's yeah. And well, you get Lord of the Rings softcore porn. It's like the best thing ever.
Well, speaking of terrible TV shows and superheroes, Jeremy, let's talk about Inhumans. What did we find out about Inhumans?
Do what?
What did we find out about Inhumans?
Oh, they released a...
So what is Inhumans and what is it going to be before we get into that?
Say that again, what?
What is Inhumans and what is it going to be, for those who don't know?
The Inhumans are a Marvel comic featuring a group that are not too dissimilar from mutants and that they are born with a certain gene, but there is a that they go through a metamorphosis, I believe it's called Terrigenesis, where they then get their powers. And there's kind of like a royal family that leads them, and this is going to be the story of that royal family.
So it's a TV series coming out.
Yes, it is going to be a TV series.
So what did we find out?
We saw a picture of the cast, and it's pretty rough.
We saw them in costume, right?
We did.
And what is so terrible about it?
It just looks like bad cosplay.
What do you think the executives were thinking?
I don't know, man. I just looks like they were rocking the no budget on that one. I mean, they've got Black Bolt in a black leather outfit straight out of, like,
X-Men 2.
X-Men, you know, original movie. And I was just like, oh, come on.
So it looks like they haven't spent any money on it yet. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do y'all think? Do you have hopes for it now that you've seen this? I mean, we've seen one photo.
No, I have no hope whatsoever, man. Like, even a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that is a piece of shit. That all these Marvel, any superhero TV shows are god-awful. They're unwatchable.
Have you seen Daredevil on Netflix?
Okay, I'll give that one a thumbs up. But even the rest of the Defender shows are no good, in my opinion.
What do you think, Jeremy? Is that right? Because The Flash is pretty awesome.
I enjoy The Flash, but it kind of stops for a superhero TV show. You know, The Flash is the only, like, DC superhero TV show I can watch. I enjoy, for the most part, all the Marvel Netflix stuff, and I started enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they started doing the, when Cap 2 came out, and then it turned out that S.H.I.E.L.D. had been infiltrated by Hydra. I enjoyed that, but it kind of stops there for me.
Okay. So, Inhumans is going to be another, you know, needle in the haystack that you can't find. It's going to be lost among everything. It looks terrible. It's going to be boring. Just get me the movies, right?
I bet it'll be canceled by the end of the first season. That's my money.
Really?
I think so. I mean, nobody's going to give a shit at all. I really will be. I will full on eat my hat if that happens. If that does not happen, rather.
Do you think that's because it's just so oversaturated with comic book TV series now?
I think so. I mean, like, you know, what do we have? We have, you know, this Legion show, which I haven't even got around to watching yet, but that one's supposed to be pretty good, and I still don't really give a crap about it. You know, there's just so many different things popping up, and they just keep stacking them on. They're having to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the irrelevant Marvel universe, and it just becomes very shitty. Because I feel like they're not really trying with any of them. I feel like they're just kind of churning out generic superhero TV shows.
Okay. So, Jeremy, do you think, like, if you look at the costumes of the Inhumans in the comics versus the image we saw online of the cast photo of the TV series, mm-hmm. do you think, like, if they kind of modeled it very, very, very similar after the comic, do you think it would look too silly for TV?
I don't know, man. Like, it looks pretty silly in that picture.
it really looks like a couple of people who put, like, a last minute, like, night before cosplay together.
Yeah, they just, you know, and I don't know, like, because, I mean, everybody always talks about how things are, that superhero costumes in comic books are spandex, but they're not really spandex, because if they were spandex, you wouldn't see the muscle definition and things like that that you see in those characters. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I look at that picture and it just looks rough. And I even, you know, when I found out the show was going to be on ABC, I was like, ah, because I really would rather it have been on a channel like, I don't know, like FX or, what station does The Walking Dead?
AMC.
So, or like AMC, like one of those channels like that, because there's just so much great. I mean, this you could have basically had Game of Thrones with superheroes.
Yeah.
That's what you could have had with this show. But now it's
going to be glorious.
When you pitch that, Game of Thrones with superheroes, why haven't they done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's what it is.
Superhero show.
Oh, why we need that?
I mean, I like a lot of the actors that are a couple of the actors that they threw in this Inhuman show. I really liked the guy that I forget the main guy's name, Black Bolt or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy from it's Anson something or other, right?
Yeah,
Anson Mount.
Yeah,
yeah. He was in Hell on Wheels on AMC, and that's a pretty cool show.
And he looks like. And the funny thing is, like in the picture, he's making this like super mad face. But when you look at pictures of Black Bolt, he's always just has this kind of like very neutral, you know, because he's the king of the Inhumans, you know, and he's super powerful. And most things are just kind of like, you know, beneath him. And so he just always has this like very indifferent look on his face. And when you just look at pictures of the actor, you know, he looks absolutely perfect. But then you put him in the Black Bolt suit and you have him make that face and all of a sudden he doesn't look like Black Bolt anymore.
Yeah, it looks stupid. And, you know, same thing with Ramsay Bolton. I mean, Ramsay Bolton was awesome in Game of Thrones and so hateable. But, you know, just in that costume and everything, it's just like, I don't care.
And normally I see the superhero pictures of stuff like on set or promo photos. And it always looks different when they're, you know, when you see it on TV or in film and it gets like the color filter for this scene or whatever, you know. And, you know, when you see even like the Marvel and some like the X-Men stuff, when you just see a regular picture of them on set, you know, it looks pretty goofy, but then ends up not, you know, looking much better on a movie or on a screen. But, man, those were just rough costumes.
Yeah. So check them out. We'll have more updates on Inhumans to see how terrible or better it gets. But sticking with the comic theme, some news that just came out I want you guys' opinion on. Stan Lee's POW Entertainment Company was acquired by a Chinese company called Kamsing International, meaning that they acquired the library of IPs for his film, TV, games, virtual reality, animation, live events, tours, comics, and all of publishing under Stan Lee's POW Entertainment. What do you think about that?
I don't really know.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you a single POW Entertainment character.
So yeah, it's nothing Marvel, but didn't under his POW thing, didn't Stan Lee write like the first gay superhero or something like that, like in the last 2 years?
I have no idea.
Well, interesting if they're doing his tours and all that stuff. That's very interesting to hear, even though he might not be with us much longer because he is like 92 years old. I'm curious about that. I guess they're trying to get Stan Lee's comic book verse out in the Chinese market, which is interesting. I was curious to see if y'all had any opinions about it.
No opinions.
Hadn't even heard about it. I hadn't even heard about POW Comics, so it's completely a mystery to me.
I knew he had a company, but I never knew. Like, I don't know any of the properties they make.
All right, so yeah, no Marvel, just POW. I had to bring that up just because. Well, let's move on then. Let's move on to the new Stephen King's It trailer. They posted a clip trailer online late last night, and it is. It's not safe for work, like this show. And it was like very Stand By Me-ish and horrifying.
Well, like the book ought to be.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, Stand By Me was a
Stephen King short story.
Yeah, called The Body. But yeah, did y'all watch this clip?
Absolutely.
Did you, Jeremy?
No, I was playing video games with John.
But this clip, this trailer was really cool. I mean, it shows the kids like being kids on an adventure and like cursing and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it looked like Stand By Me. And then at the end, it's literally, oh God, there's this creepy Pennywise clown going to kill everybody. This movie looks so good. I'm so impressed by the trailer so far.
I agree completely. I'm incredibly excited about this movie. This may be the movie that I'm most excited for that's coming out this year besides Episode 8.
Oh, my God. I was hoping you would not say that so we can be like, really?
No, I'm really excited about this. I mean, it is such a great book. It's such a fantastic book. And I'm very interested to see how they do this version of it, because I was telling Jeremy was telling me just a little while ago when we were doing our gaming that he's never seen the movie of it, the existing one. And I told him, don't bother, because it's a steaming piece of shit. But, you know, it is. It's unwatchable. Tim Curry is great as Pennywise, but that is the only redeeming quality to that movie.
It does not hold up as well, but it's worth watching if you've never seen
it. I can't. No. To me, it's unwatchable. It's really bad. And especially because the book is so good. I mean, the book is epic. Have you ever read it, Brian?
I did read Stephen King's it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and such a brilliant, like I said, epic book. Because it's huge. It's also one of the biggest books ever, I think.
Yeah, I know. It's a very long book. But they also go into, like, tons of different things that we saw on that old TV show from the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really interested to see, you know, everything we've seen from this new version, they haven't shown the adult versions of the characters at all. So I think we talked about it the last time we were talking about it, where we're kind of wondering at this point whether or not they're going to be even involving the adult versions of them, or perhaps breaking it into two-parter, like you said.
That would be really cool, depending on how well the movie does. And, I mean, this... It's interesting. This is a very rare occasion with a film that's had so many production delays and problems and directors and actors leaving this production that it's getting such good word of mouth right now. Like, that's super rare.
It wasn't the trailer, like, one of the most popular trailers on YouTube ever?
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, everybody likes Pennywise, yo. Do you like scary movies, Jeremy? I can't remember.
I'm indifferent. I enjoy like monster movies and stuff like that, but I mean, I don't really get like the scare factor. So
he can't really watch them because Josie is more scared of horror than anyone I've ever met.
That's true.
She does the scare for both of you guys.
Yes.
So she's...
But Jeremy will just watch a horror movie with a completely flat face. There's completely no emotion on his face whatsoever watching a horror movie. But it's all being... Josie's absorbing all of it.
Oh, that's funny.
All the terror gets transferred to my right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, check out the new trailer, the clip. It's really good. Again, if you're in a work environment, you're going to want to put on earphones or something like that, because there is...
Which you hopefully are already wearing listening to this show.
Yeah,
or else probably in trouble.
Correct. But yeah, it is a good trailer. We look forward to it. Also, they released a trailer for the new Blade Runner movie with Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford. Did y'all get a chance to watch that one yet?
Nay.
No.
Because y'all don't like games. You don't like Blade Runner.
No, I wasn't interested at all. I mean, I'll watch it, but I don't care.
It's not Han Solo.
No, it's not Han Solo. It's not Indiana Jones, and it's not the president from Air Force One, so I don't really care.
Well, there's no more Han Solo, is there?
There is, just not Harrison Ford Han Solo.
Look, he's not going to watch most old Harrison Ford movies now, just on the sheer principle of I don't think he can handle watching him die a second time. Because he might die in this movie.
That's true, he
I'm
might.
Just saying, I don't know if John can recover from seeing Harrison Ford die a second time.
Oh, man. Just
find me in the fucking mental hospital a few days later. Weeping.
Probably one of the saddest days of your life when you saw that.
I agree. Certainly one of the most upsetting.
Well, I'm a big fan of Blade Runner, and I watched the trailer. It looks amazing. I mean, you've got Denis Villeneuve, or whatever, the director of Arrival that just came out, and that was nominated for an Oscar. And you have Harrison Ford back. You have Ridley Scott producing. It looks awesome, like visually really good. And like they bill the movie as Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford. However, the trailers we've seen so far doesn't look like Harrison Ford's in the movie a whole lot. So I guess I don't know if they're going to do anything with it. But it looks amazing, visually stunning. I'm excited for it. But you guys don't like the original Blade Runner, so I doubt you'll like this one. Maybe
I'll go see it.
I liked Arrival.
Be better.
Yeah. I loved Arrival.
Arrival was incredible.
I didn't know that's who was directing it. That actually makes me a little more interested in it.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. So maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see. Who knows? I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Brian, do you know you're Skyping like a baby boomer right now?
How am I Skyping like a baby boomer?
All I can see is the top of your head.
Really?
That's better.
I get so excited. The camera moves. I don't know what's happening. Can you see me like from like tits up right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yes.
Just like the show. Just completely tits up.
Completely tits up. Mediocrity people. So let's talk about, we got to bring up, I think we all three have played or still play Rocket League, right?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
We have all played it.
Yes, I actually played a couple matches this past weekend. But it was announced last week that the WWE Universe, WWE Pro Wrestling, is teaming up with Rocket League. As of right now, not a whole lot's known. However, Rocket League is going to be one of the sponsors for an upcoming pay-per-view this month called Backlash. And it also said in the press release that Rocket League is going to work with WWE in the future, meaning we probably will get some DLC content of like crazy pro wrestler cars.
Well, there were always a bunch of pro wrestler like monster trucks anyway, so I wonder if that's what we're going to get.
Dude, how awesome would that be? And how awesome would it be? I mean, I'm spitballing.
The Undertaker monster truck?
Holy God. I don't know what I would do.
Gravedigger, that's what it's called.
Gravedigger. Holy God. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I will spend all the money on it.
Is it really going to be that cool, though, to get a car with a Hulk decal on the side? I mean, I love the Hulk, but I don't even know if that would excite me.
That would excite me.
That's the only one I would even use.
What? Really? You would use the Rock or a Stone Cold Steve Austin one?
Oh, I don't think they're going to drop Rock money.
You never know. You know how much Rocket League is made? It's like one of the most popular games. They could very well. However, what if WWE, there was a different game mode rather than soccer? It's the cars in a wrestling ring.
That's what I was imagining when you were telling me, and that actually was more exciting to me than imagining the Hulk wrestling car.
I don't know.
I assume there would be a wrestling ring themed like arena in addition to the trucks.
Oh God, I'm just so excited right now. Just talking with you guys about this, I'm so excited. I think people who watch wrestling cross over into the horror and video game realm. So I think this would be a pretty cool type of thing to see. So I'm curious because I'll definitely watch the pay-per-view live. I'm curious to see what type of commercial they show during the pay-per-view for it, and look forward to the rest. But yeah, we all need to play. We all need to play that game again. We had fun playing that.
We did have fun playing that. Jeremy, you don't have it though, do you?
I do not.
Oh, dang it!
Dang it!
I'll buy it, Kluger, if you buy Battlefront.
Deal. Well, Battlefront, really?
Yeah.
Dude, Jeremy and I have been playing it for like 3 days. We go through phases.
It's so funny because we
like, fuck that game. And then this is a phase when we're enjoying it. So, you know.
It's so funny to me because we just had an episode where we're like, what are the greatest multiplayer games? And this one was not chosen.
It's not by any stretch of the imagination one of the greatest multiplayer games.
I mean, should I wait just for Battlefront 2 or should I just do this one?
Well, Battlefront 2 is not coming out until November, man. That's a long way.
That is a long way. All right. All right. Deal, deal, deal. We'll do it. Do it. Damn it. It's going to be great when I buy it and y'all don't want to play anymore. Well, moving on, sirs. Who had the idea for the guitar solo?
This dude.
Atterbury, talk to us about that.
Well, so we're all huge fans of music, being that the show is Mediocrity. Sometimes we like to talk about music. So I figured it'd be a fun topic to hit. Jeremy and I are both guitar players. Brian plays a mean air guitar.
And a skin flute.
Exactly. So
he's more proficient at one than the other.
Exactly. And it's not the air instrument.
All right. And?
And so I figured we'd all talk about our favorite solos.
Okay, so you two being, you know, playing guitar for many, many, many years, what makes a good guitar solo in your minds?
Jeremy?
you know, I feel like it's got to fit the vibe of the song. That's actually a big criteria for me, as long as it accentuates the song, doesn't kind of take away from it. It's one of my favorite things about a good guitar solo. Lots of passion, lots of fire in it. Works for me.
All right. And Jonathan?
I like to hear new and interesting shit. I love technical proficiency and all of that stuff and the melody of it, all of that. But to me, more than anything, what's most interesting to me is interesting sounds. When you hear the one note that comes out of that solo and you go, oh, that's cool. Like, so a good tone for me, and not just good, but a unique tone, an interesting guitar tone, that kind of matters a lot for me in a great solo.
So both of you have written, produced, and made your own music. When you're writing your own music and producing your own music, do you think of a guitar solo ahead of time? Or when you're making the song, do you just like write guitar solo here and you just come up with it on the spot, or do you actually have a sound you're looking for?
Because I prefer to record more than anything. I'm not a huge fan of playing live. I usually prefer to do recordings. So when I record, I will, of course, say, okay, cool, here's a spot where I'm going to put the solo. And then I'll usually just step into it and kind of noodle around for a while until I find something that I like. And then I'll spend a little time refining that until I get to where I really like it. And then I'll record the final version.
How long does that take usually for you?
Depends on the song. It really does. Sometimes it comes out real fast, and other times it takes days and days to really find the right one.
All right. Jeremy, what about you?
Usually if I'm doing a solo, I might have an idea or two that I already have, but then I'll usually leave some areas open to just kind of see what happens. A little improvisation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what are the best guitar solos out there, minus your own?
Oh, we're starting with me. How many do I get to pick?
As many as you want, man. Which ones like really stick out with you that you always remember all the time?
So in no particular order, Eric Clapton from The Cradle has got a couple on that album. There's a song Someday After a While, and that's got an amazing solo. And then there's another song on that album, Tore Down, which is got just a great, great solo. So
what do you like about those specifically?
Man, that's one of the few albums where Clapton just digs in and throws down some just awesome, awesome blues. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, he tends to be a fairly reserved player. You know, even though he's one of my favorites, he doesn't always, you know, just lay in with a lot of emotion. And man, that album is just packed full of it. So, and those are probably my two favorite songs on that album.
All right. All right. Any others that you can think of?
John Scofield, The Go-Go. It's a jazz album, and it's got two of my favorites. The first two songs are A Go-Go and then Chank, and the solos on that are just amazing. Fantastic.
And that's a jazz guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think you actually introduced me to that album, and I still have it somewhere.
Cool.
Very cool. All right. Mr. Atterbury, give us your thoughts on your favorite guitar solos, your guitar Han solos, that have always stuck with you. That was a good joke, fucking, you know it.
Yeah, you cracked us up with that one.
Yes. It's hard to say what was better, the concept or the delivery.
Oh, me. Well,
I've got quite a mighty list for you guys. What I really wanted to do on this one, because I, of course, songs like Hotel California and Crossroads and stuff like that come to mind, but everybody knows those solos are great. So what I wanted to talk about with you guys and with the listeners are a bunch of solos that perhaps many of the listeners haven't heard that are really some of my favorite solos. So some, you know, a lot of famous bands, a lot of famous guitar players, but some of their lesser known work, which is actually, in my opinion, some of the best solos out there. So, one solo that I've always really loved was the solo from the Wilco song Impossible Germany. So anyone who's got Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that, you can just type these in, or YouTube, whatever. Impossible Germany, it's got this incredible, unique, and interesting guitar solo. I also have always loved the solo from Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith.
All right.
That is such a cool, mainly because it's just such a weird guitar tone that he uses on that one. Jeremy, could you perhaps enlighten us on how he got that tone? I don't know if you're hip to it.
I don't know what it is, man. It almost just sounds like some kind of weird acoustic guitar, like piezo pickup.
Yeah, it does sound like an acoustic.
Running through like an electric guitar amp with some effects. I mean, it's weird.
It is super weird, but I love that solo.
Yeah.
Boston, Tom Scholz, the guitar player for Boston, he's got a fantastic solo on the song called Hitch a Ride, which I think is on their self-titled album. So just absolute brilliance in that one. And then I'm going to go for Kiss up next for some Ace Frehley action on the song Shock Me, which is so good.
All the Jews.
Oh, man. The friggin' Shock Me solo is pure thunder. I love it.
Sweet.
Oh, man. Let's see. I can just go on and on. One more I'm going to say is Thin Lizzy has a song called The Cowboy Song, and that's got a incredibly passionate, fun, and exciting guitar solo. And lastly, but not least, I want to talk about the solo from Close to the Edge by the band Yes.
Wow.
Yes is a fantastic band, and Close to the Edge is probably their best song, in my opinion. It's like a 15-minute song, but not only is the solo incredible, but all the guitar work on that song is just so unusual and mind-blowing. It's unlike anything I've ever heard besides what was coming out of that guitar player at that era.
Wow. Some good stuff there. In different varieties, too.
It's all good stuff, man.
It's all good stuff, man. Well, as somebody who's not a guitar player, but air guitar player, I guess.
Skin flautist.
The skin flautist. I have a few that I like to...
Can I guess one?
Yeah. Oh, I know one, too.
So why don't y'all guess both, and I'll tell you yes or no.
Then. I'm going to say that Beat It is definitely on that list.
Yes. I was like, I know that's what we're getting.
Of course. Of course. Eddie Van Halen rocked that.
I just assumed that was the only one on the list. I assumed that was the list, and it was going to be like, and the show's over. Thanks, guys.
Like Jeremy's favorite horror movies or whatever the Ghostbusters answer was.
Well, I mean, Beat It, that guitar solo is amazing.
It is an amazing guitar solo, no doubt. It is one of the best. I'll give that to you.
All right. Another one.
Can you sing it?
The what?
Can you sing it?
Can I sing it? All right, hold on.
Sing it.
Sing it. Sing it. I'm trying to remember. Hold on. That part.
da-dun-dun. That's when it goes into the solo from that part. I'm building you up here.
I can't, yeah.
Don't stop.
You're making me laugh. I can hear it now in my head, and it's so good. No, I'm not going to sing it. Maybe another show.
What happens if you don't do it now, man?
It's
don't,
not going to make sense to sing it on another show.
Oh, we did.
That's why you got to sing it now.
Well, oh, God, I'm too embarrassed. It's so good. All right. Another one. John Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive. I like that guitar solo a lot.
That is a good one.
That's a good one.
I like it. And then one I'm going to mention just because it's a horrible, it's awesome, but it's a horrible one to mention. Freebird. I mean, it's just so classic. I mean, it's
Good. It's so overplayed, but it does. It's just like Hotel California. Both of the songs have truly epic guitar solos.
Overplayed for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. They earned it.
I'm also gonna go with Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ah, that's a good one. I've got a Queen song on my list actually that I forgot to mention, and it's the song called "Long Away." And if you haven't heard that one, Brian, you should check it out because it is a really cool guitar solo.
I will definitely check that out. Also, The Doors, Light My Fire. But do y'all like The Doors? No, right?
Nope.
No.
Oh, you're so funny.
If I could have a sound effect that would be like the sound of Obi-Wan Kenobi powering down the generators for the shield generator, that's the sound I would make when you mention The Doors.
That's the sound of the mega direction going down.
Yep.
You mentioned Bon Jovi and it went bloop, and then you mentioned that and it just went crashing to the earth.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry. But yeah, those were my picks. I mean, they're kind of more mainstream, I guess. I'm trying to remember. I do believe Radiohead from that song Paranoid Android had a really awesome guitar solo from the OK Computer album. That's probably as indie as I would get, even though that's not indie in the slightest. But
it was indie when it came out.
True. Shit. I'm going to name two more Michael Jackson ones. Scream, which was an awesome guitar solo, and from the Dangerous album, Give In To Me, which Slash played on, which was a Slash guitar solo, which was badass. So if you're unfamiliar with those, highly recommended. Is there any keytar solos? We need to do that for an episode.
Isn't that the same as just a keyboard solo?
Well, is it?
Just played with one hand and crappy?
Yes. It is.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Officially.
All right. You guys. I'm curious. Did y'all have like a surprise gimmick this week for me?
No.
No. All
right.
But we did decide that after your Bon Jovi reference, Blaze of Glory, test score on the Star Wars quiz, we decided that when you feel like you're ready, we will give you another quiz and let you try to redeem yourself. We actually talked about that today while we were gaming.
Of Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay.
We will do a whole new original trilogy quiz with all new questions when you feel like you're ready.
Okay, give me a week and I will rewatch the movies, I will pay attention, and I'll take the quiz.
So you want us to do it next Monday then?
Next Monday.
Let's try it next Monday, yes.
All right.
All right, that sounds good. And Brian, you're always welcome to come up with surprise segments also.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I will.
You have permission to be funny.
I could always make one up for Jeremy, or you and Jeremy could make one for me.
All right. We'll do that. We have a one of our listeners has been messaging me all morning long.
What an asshole.
His name is Mitchell Blumka. We love Mitchell Blumka. And he's been listening to our shows. I think he was behind, so he was listening to a couple shows to catch up today. And he has come up with a ton of Kevin Hart and The Rock recasts for us.
Oh, good.
Like he's got ideas for movies, or he's giving us subjects and he wants us to do them?
No, he's giving us ideas for movies. It's hilarious. I'm going to name some, and I want you to let me know if you think anything is really good. One of his ones, The Rock as Hannibal Lecter and Kevin Hart as Buffalo Bill. From Silence of the Lambs. No.
But who would be Clarice Starling?
We thought it would be Dakota Fanning or Melissa McCarthy.
God, that's no, not Melissa McCarthy. That's crossing the line, man.
I thought that was a good one.
Do you think she's funny?
Melissa McCarthy? I like Melissa McCarthy a lot.
What movies of hers do you like?
I like The Heat. I like Bridesmaids. I like Spy. I love her in Gilmore Girls.
I thought Spy was terrible, man.
See, I love Spy.
I could not get behind that. I watched it because it got good ratings, and I was just completely disappointed by it. I have yet to watch Melissa McCarthy and be like, oh, she's funny. It has not yet occurred to me.
I like her. I don't like a lot of her movies, but I do like a lot.
Okay.
See, with the Hannibal Lecter Rock thing, I would switch Kevin and The Rock in those roles.
You don't want to. So you'd like to see Dwayne Johnson tuck in and I'd fuck me.
That would be way funnier.
I think
Kevin Hart be Hannibal would also be hilarious.
That would be so good. Oh my God!
All right, so Mitchell had a good idea, but Jeremy improved upon it.
That's true. He did. That was switch him, and we're good. Another one. Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Dwayne is the body and Kevin is actually the brain. Krang.
I love that. That's great.
I like that one.
I thought that was a really good one too. let's see. A movie where five Kevin Hart robots come together to make a Dwayne Johnson Voltron robot. I think that's an amazing, I think. Oh, God. He's had so many. Kevin Hart as all the main characters in Austin Powers, and his dad, Michael Caine, is The Rock. No? Yes? Maybe? Yeah. No?
No.
No, not feeling that one.
Yeah.
What about Sorry, Kevin Mitchell. Hart narrating another Milo and Otis movie?
All right, that one I will endorse. I like that.
You like that one? Oh, my goodness. Kevin Hart as Sean Connery and Dwayne as the Highlander in a new Highlander movie.
That sounds pretty good.
Would you watch that?
Of course.
All right. The Rock as Rocky.
I would, but man, you got to say, like, The Rock as the Kurgan would be pretty badass.
That would be pretty cool. There are so many good ones. We're going to have to, I mean, he's literally, he's messaged me with tons of, we're going to put them online. They're so good. Going with that, is there anything that has sparked your interest in talking about this Kevin Hart, Dwayne, that you want to say today as far as like, is there a movie that you would like to see them in?
I would love to see them remaking a Dracula movie where you've got Dwayne Johnson playing Dracula and Kevin Hart playing Jonathan Harker. I would really enjoy that, just seeing them dressed up in the old, you know, Transylvanian kind of costumes in that time period, Victorian England. I would love that. That would be pretty hilarious. Nice. It has to be a comedy, though. It can't be too serious. It's like somewhere between that and, you know, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
So opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
so kind of like a maybe like a Shaun of the Dead type of feel.
Yeah, but with the Dracula, classic Dracula story.
Okay, all right. Jeremy, anything?
I'm going to go Pacific Rim. And what I'm going to have is Kevin Hart and The Rock are Jaeger pilots, but they have separate Jaegers. And Kevin Hart's Jaeger looks like The Rock, right? And The Rock's Jaeger looks just like Kevin Hart.
Oh.
That's good. I like that.
And then I just watched them fight kaiju. And really all I cared about was having The Rock in a Kevin Hart Jaeger. But then I was like, man, I would really love to see a Jaeger that looks just like The Rock. You would have me sold right there.
I love it. That's brilliant.
I really like that. I do like it.
You got anything for us today, Brian?
What kind of mine is, have we done a Kevin Hart Rock When Harry Met Sally one?
I feel like you'd said that one already.
Have I said that one? It just came to my mind. Let's see here. What would I like to see?
See a Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson remake of Forrest Gump. With Dwayne Johnson as Forrest Gump and Kevin Hart as Lieutenant Dan.
You got new legs.
Except you wouldn't have to cut off his legs. You could just leave him his normal height and he'd be fine.
You're the same height as you were. Why did you get new legs? Oh, that would be good. Oh, hey, I'm all for that. What about Who Framed Roger Rabbit? With maybe Kevin Hart as Christopher Lloyd's character, the bad guy, and The Rock as Eddie Valiant.
Who plays Roger Rabbit?
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, God.
No.
Charlie Hunnam.
Who?
Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, Charlie Hunnam. It's the worst.
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. Oh,
no, Floyd, man.
Who? Jake Lloyd?
Lloyd.
Oh, poor Jake Lloyd.
Poor Jake Lloyd.
Poor Jake Lloyd.
I always feel bad making fun of him.
I feel bad, too. But yeah, those are all that. Anything else y'all want to bring up? We're about coming to close here.
No.
No.
I just want to go eat my sandwich. That's all.
All right. Well, all right. We'll come back next week, and we're going to have a new Star Wars quiz, which I can hopefully get better than. Did I get 1.5 points or 2.5 points?
You got 3.5, my friend. Don't sell yourself short.
Okay. I know I did terribly.
I'm not. And I ambushed Josie with the exact same quiz, and she got 6.5 points.
Oh, so she did double the points that I did.
And I don't think Josie's ever watched Star Wars. She watches it out of the corner of her eyes, but it's more like just by osmosis, you know?
Yeah, but you have, like, you encyclopedias at her side the whole time of Star Wars, so she probably...
She absorbed it.
Yeah.
By proxy.
I'm going to have to think of some questions, do something for y'all. I mean, I feel like if you asked me an Army of Darkness quiz, I would get it right.
That's not fun, though. That's
too easy. That's not fun.
The show isn't about making each other look cool.
I love Star Wars. I swear. I just don't know anything about it.
I just don't ever watch it or pay attention.
And I we're going to do this, Jeremy. You and I, at some point in the next few weeks, need to sit down and watch the prequels so we can come on and discuss them and still how terrible they are.
Dude, I will totally, you can come over, I draw in the living room, we'll put them on, we'll have a marathon, and I will help you form some Star Wars prequel opinions that you did not get from the internet.
Okay. All right. Hey, I... But I can't wait for this, because I'm just going to go into it just thinking it's the absolute worst. So... I'm excited. But
I can tell.
But we are Mediocrity, part of the Multimedia Podcast. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Look us up. Type in Multimedia Men Podcast in Google, and you'll find us on iTunes. Just subscribe. Jeremy Mager, Jonathan Atterbury, thank you, as always. This is awesome. I'm glad we do this. I'm glad we have stuck around for almost a year. Well, I think it's been... a year, but we took a hiatus for a few weeks. I know that. Mm-hmm. But we're getting up there in episodes.
Keeps on going.
keeps on going, Fuzz. So, yeah, we'll be back next week, and we love and miss you all. Thanks for listening.